You've been invited to a function where we're talking about dysfunction. And dysfunction apparently affects all of us. We build false walls. We close ourselves up in envelopes and boxes. And if you want to break free, out thinking out of the envelope or break out of the box and be free and be emancipated and run up the hill where the sunlight is beaming and the wheat is blowing in the wind and say, I'm free at last. How can we do that, Beth Walsh Erickson?
Okay, Rhett. So if you've been living in dysfunction all your life, you're living by rules. Don't feel, don't talk, don't tell. Okay, those.
How many times do we hear don't before we reach the age of 18, right?
Yeah, so many times. And so what happens is people start repressing or suppressing their emotions, and that hurts. It hurts to stuff your emotions. Eventually they're going to come out, and they're usually going to come out as anger. And so let's think of some of the ways people avoid pain. Obviously, there's drugs and alcohol. There's running. I mean, like leaving town, but there's also running, like the people you see running.
Like Forrest Gump in the movie, when his mama died, he just ran and ran. Remember all the people started following him around the nation?
Right.
Then he said, that's it. That's all I'm going to do now.
Yeah. There's people that use food.
Forrest Gump movie has a lot of genius behind that movie. You learn something from rewatching that every time.
And people use food and sex, people-pleasing, approval-seeking. Some people go into hysterics. They're like drama queens. They have a hysterical reaction to make the pain stop because people behave differently when they do that. Anger and rage. You talked about it earlier. Addictions to relationships, having someone else figure stuff out for you. These are all ways that people run from the pain of growing up in a dysfunctional home.
When people seek sadistic relationships like that, what's that big book that's a big popular? It's 50 Shades of Grey, where this billionaire then is abusive to the women. But of course, I would presume that's, and it's very cagey because the guy's making $100 million on these books. But it's nothing less than female pornography because they don't have to face somebody when they buy it. They're buying it in e-books. That's why he's made $100 million in 6 months. And you've got the safety of the guy because he's a billionaire. So are you willing to put up with these other, you know, am I hitting it here? It's a little...
Well, the actions that people take give them the feeling that they're in control. Let's use food problems, food issues. Not eating, you're in control. Overeating, you're in control. At least I can control. I can't control my husband, but I can eat this whole cheesecake, you know. Or
running. They say running can be an addiction.
It is. It can be an addiction. All kinds of physical exercise can be an addiction. You'll see people that are pumping iron addictively. Somebody that would.
I escaped the addiction of exercise. Whenever I get the desire, I sit down now and I wait till it passes.
There you go. Well, as children, we didn't have the means to relieve the pain, especially the emotional pain that we felt in the dysfunctional. So we built up weapons or tools or ways to get our feeling. It really was a false feeling that we were protected. And the more we retreated into those traits, the more we denied our true feelings. And so without our true feelings, we lose the ability to achieve real intimacy with other people, with ourselves, and even with our God. So when we're in trouble, we're not even intimate enough with God, with other people, or with ourselves to know what's going on. Because we've been playing these roles for so long that we're not really sure what's wrong. We know there's something wrong with us, but we don't know what it is.
This may sound funny because it's kind of funny. But it's not funny because it's tragic. But I heard the story from this lady. She said that her brother was an alcoholic. And then he came into the meetings of AA. But he got so angry that then he went back to drinking. And I'm sorry to report he absolutely killed himself with alcohol poisoning. That's the tragic side. The funny side is that, or the side I'm looking at with a little bit of levity is that, gosh, are we blinded in a stupid sort of way? Because, in other words, the reason he was drinking was to hide the anger. So when he stopped drinking, then the anger started to surface. And so what's that all about?
Well, to get through this, the first thing is you're going to have to uncover and admit what's going on. Step back from your life and look at it objectively. Talk to other people. Let those who are close to you tell you and actually listen to them for once. If your wife is telling you you're a workaholic, she might be right. Why don't you step back and take a look at that?
Humble yourself and listen to the voices around you.
Right. Get information. Go to workshops and seminars like the ones that Beth Wee teaches. Read books. Google the information online. This is really important. Get a professional evaluation. You know, psychotherapy is an important part of people recovering to their highest self. Now, if you're dealing with dysfunction, look for somebody with those letters CAP after their name, because it's a certified addictions professional.
Are you that?
No, I'm not.
Are you going to do that in the future?
I don't think so, because I know enough of them that can help me when I need it. But the reality is that professionals are trained to help you uncover what's going on with you.
Well, if you're not that, what are you? Why are you doing this interview today? What are you all about? What is it that you want to do?
What I want to do is help people learn how to find their highest good, find their best self, find their relationship with their...
It's not psychotherapy. It's what? How are you doing it?
I use different tools. And the tools that I am most adept at are helping people use the 12 steps to wholeness. People think the 12 steps are for alcoholics and addicts. The 12 steps are for anybody who wants to live a better way of life. It's a group of spiritual principles that help people get back on track and figure out who they are and where they stop and other people start. You stop taking responsibility for other people's things, and you're able to move into wholeness. And I believe anybody, no matter what they're dealing with, whether it's depression, anxiety, addiction, any excess in your life can be helped.
I just went up to Albany, New York, and I ran into my friend who was my my partner in business 25 years ago. We're sitting there having breakfast, and he told me he was in a 12-step program, had been for 25 years. He's not a recovered alcoholic or any drug abuser or anything like that, but I guess there were issues in his life, and apparently he found emancipation and freedom by being involved in that. I'd like to find out more about those steps.
You can go to BethWee.com, and actually...
BethWee.com, B-E-T-H, and then W-E, BethWee. Why that?
.com.
Somebody with a lisp.
It's actually BethWee. My name and my two last initials. But one of the premises of...
Beth Walsh Erickson.
Right. One of the premises of working a 12-step program is that you do it with help. You do it with other people that have similar issues. One of the best ways of getting well is to talk to other people who understand your illness or your dysfunction or your struggle. And the miracle of identification is paramount in overcoming whatever problem is that you're struggling with.
Would you agree that 60 or 80% of coming over problems is realizing you have a problem? Because I think there's all kinds of people listening to this broadcast right now going, I don't know if I have a problem. They do have a problem. But imagine if somebody's listening and they go, oh, if they do have a problem, then at least they can begin to work on it. I think a lot of us, it's like if I cover up one of my eyes right now and go, well, I can see you fine. I don't have a blind spot. I can see you fine. Well, I've got one of my eyes covered. I mean, we go through life not realizing we've built, walls around us. I can remember when I was younger, I got hurt by a girl when I was 16. She was 19, beautiful girl. From then on, I never let girls know that I liked them. And then I got more of them because they like the challenge of the guy that's not so easy to get. And then that becomes, then all of a sudden you've closed yourself off and you don't let them in. I wonder how many people have done that.
That's exactly what, understanding that about yourself is how you're going to overcome that. Because if you're acting like that, you'll never have a true partnership with another person, with a woman. You'll never be able to be fully intimate with a woman if you started off by being dishonest about how you feel about her.
It's a weird life for us guys because we're told when we're younger not to cry publicly, and yet the number one thing we say, I love my husband, all the more when he watches a movie he's willing to cry with me. Now, most guys listening, are you guys? Let's own up. When you go, I like going to movies alone because I can cry. I won't cry if somebody else is near me that knows me. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Are you in a dysfunction? Well, she's got something to tell you about that and emancipate you more with our final episode coming up with Beth Walsh Erickson. You can log on to Beth Wee, B-E-T-H-W-E.